Okay, welcome to our webinar on Disaster Recovery as a Service. My name is Alan Newman, and I'm a Senior Product Marketing Manager at Microsoft. There will be an on-demand copy of today's session available shortly after this session, and we'll send you an email so you can watch it again or forward it to your colleagues. You can also submit questions via the Q&A widget, and we will answer those questions after the presentation. I'm very pleased that Peter Rutten is joining us today. Peter is a senior analyst at IDC focusing on the mission critical server market. His research also covers subjects that are of a critical importance to IT, such as high availability. Most recently, he hosted a session on high availability during IDC's 2015 Directions Conference. Peter was a co-founder of Electric Word Magazine, which became Wired, and served as the president of Wired's book division. He's written several technology-related books for Random House and HarperCollins. Peter, thanks again for joining us, and I'll turn the microphone over to you.
Thanks, Alan, and hello, everyone. It's great to be here and have an opportunity to share some of IDC's insights. This very important topic of DRAS, Disaster Recovery as a Service, and how it's allowing companies of all sizes, small, medium, or enterprise, to really comprehensively start protecting their data. So let's take a look at what DRAS is and why it's important, where it came from, where it's going, and perhaps most importantly, what it can do for you. Data is the currency of modern business. We're hearing this new mantra all the time. But what does it mean? It means that a firm used to have a set of core competencies. Let's say, around manufacturing brake systems or servicing insurance. And IT had a number of enabling functions in that world. This has really changed. When we're saying that data is the new currency, we mean that a firm's products are now surrounded by massive volumes of data that have become part of the product. In that sense, IT has really taken on a dramatic new role. IT has to manage this tsunami of data, and data generate revenue. And if data is unavailable or missing, then revenue is lost. IDC calls this era the third platform. And I should probably go back to briefly explain that. So the first platform was the big centralized systems, the mainframes from the 60s. The second platform was the advent of low-cost x86 servers, PCs, Ethernet, LANs in the 80s and the 90s. The third platform is about four pillars. One is the search in systems of engagement, and what that really means is mobile, but increasingly you will also see that becoming the Internet of Things. Two is the generation of these massive amounts of data that I already mentioned, and the critical capabilities around analyzing that data for new business opportunities. Three is social networking and how that affects your business, how you communicate with your customers, how they talk about you. And then the fourth pillar is the increasing deployment in the cloud. In this environment, what we're seeing is that competitive advantages gained from bringing your systems of record together with your systems of engagement and with their systems of insight. So, with the latter meaning the analytical systems, the analytical applications in order to make sense of your data. It also means that any loss or unavailability of data can have very severe consequences. IDC research found that the penalty for downtime or for data loss can be staggering. The mean cost of an hour of downtime for a small firm is almost $250,000. For a mid-sized firm, it's almost $500,000. And for large enterprises, That cost can be, is rather, 1.7. The mean cost is $1.7 million. But we're seeing quite a bit of variation in industries, and certain industries can have up to $10 million per hour of revenue loss if they're down. So, like I said, these are huge ramifications in cases of data loss. So today's focus is on disaster recovery. Data have to be available and protected, and of course we've been doing, especially large firms, we've been doing that for many years in various ways and with various levels of diligence. We have high availability solutions in the hardware, in the software to protect our infrastructure. Something goes wrong, anyway we can have maybe we have disaster recovery in place to recover the data as fast as possible. And if all else fails, we still have our backups. So today we're going to be talking about DR and the role that it plays in this continuum. And what I'll be talking about is the fact that only the largest enterprises really have this continuum with full-blown DR in place, but at a significant cost. Most other firms have a certain amount of keeping their fingers crossed in this whole equation. And in the third platform, with as I just said, data taking on such a critical role, that is really no longer feasible. Let's step back a little and look at traditional DR. Most of you will be familiar with it, but here's a quick overview. DR is based on replication. And what replication does is it mirrors data across a network, either in real time, and that's called continuous replication, or it can be done at certain intervals, which is called snapshot-based replication. Replication is used to move data from a local source, which is your primary site, to a remote target, which can is called the recovery site. Or if you have one that can be a DR provider. The source and the target are, or in traditional solutions, are a host or a physical storage array. Now, in asynchronous replication writes data to the target as the source moves on to the next block. And there are some advantages to that. At the same time, it keeps sort of track of the synchronicity, and that makes things a lot faster, allows for bridging longer distances with less latency, and that then facilitates replication over a wide area network. And, of course, that's ideal because then you're preventing data loss in the event of a regional catastrophe. Traditional DR was typically restricted to site-to-site, site-to-DR provider, physical servers, on-premises, and usually we're talking about blocks or files. This is changing. The change in infrastructure, well, let's go back for a second. So I was talking about the first and the second and the third platform, and what we've been seeing is that during the second platform, where I mentioned that a lot of data centers are standardizing on x86, a lot of data centers have been trying to deal with the loss of data protection from that standardization. If you go from EPIC or RISC or CISC to x86, then you have to do something else to get your mission critical workloads covered. So what's happening is that we're seeing a tendency to run mission-critical workloads on x86, and by that I mean database, ERP, CRM. And IT has had to spend significant budget on providing enough availability and DR. In a survey we did, we found that about 70% of firms across all sizes are paying close to a 70% premium on top of the server cost for their HA and their DR. And that's really only the cost, because the complexity of some of these solutions can also be such that you need people with specific skills, and there's quite a bit of time and effort, which means resources involved needed to install and manage these. that's a real, that's a significant premium, and it's a hurdle. And what has happened is that large firms have protected their tier one applications, but not necessarily the other tiers. The small and medium businesses, as, you know, this is what we're seeing, is tend to live a bit more dangerously, sometimes with quite a bit of the infrastructure at risk. Of course, we've also seen virtualization and the move to the cloud, and that is really starting to change things. So I've talked to several firms in various industries about how virtualization and the cloud are changing the way they look at HA. I actually pulled some quotes from these conversations to show you. So this is one large transportation company that I spoke with, and they're saying, by the way, transportation is in terms of high availability, cutthroat business, because they have large centers where they're bidding on loads that they have to match up with trucks that are in the field, and they're looking at competitive bids, and if they go down, then they're not bidding, and they're not generating revenue. Excuse me. The industry, this company said, is really moving towards the use of virtual machines and their HA capabilities, and they're saying this is displacing our traditional high availability solution. I talked to an airline, one that I actually flew myself last week. And they're saying that actually virtualization is more than adequate to provide the highest levels of uptime for them. Much better, they say, than the traditional hardware clustering solution that they have been using. And then in terms of the cloud, a global electronics company I spoke with said that they're moving to the cloud even for their highest SLAs, talking about SAP, finance, and inventory, high-end revenue-impacting applications. So that's pretty significant. And this is happening with HR. It's happening with DR. Let's take a look at what some of the DR considerations for firms are of various sizes. If you look at enterprises, they tend to have dedicated to DR solutions. Their objectives are very demanding RPOs and RTOs, recovery point objectives and recovery time objectives. So at which point do you want to be able to recover, and how long does it take for that recovery to take place? They tend to have a broad range of applications, often custom legacy apps. They have physical sources and target locations that are far apart, which is good because that covers you and if there's a regional situation. They tend to deal with very high data volumes and therefore require greater bandwidth. And enterprises usually have a pretty heterogeneous environment with lots of operating systems and hypervisors within the infrastructure. Now, if you're a small or medium business, things look a little differently. You may have some replication technologies that you're probably using for a couple of things: data protection, migration, content distribution. You will most likely have less demanding RPOs and RTOs just because the more demanding ones are more costly. Your apps will be somewhat less broad. You will most likely have fewer custom and legacy apps. And a lot of SMBs simply cannot afford to get a actual physical target location, where you're essentially duplicating your entire infrastructure. Limited data volumes, although in the third platform that is changing too, even smaller businesses are now getting to deal with big data. Less bandwidth, and then a more homogeneous. And if you look at the drivers for both enterprises and SMBs, so the four biggest drivers for DR, they are cost, scalability, overhead of a host, and then the ease of integration. And depending on whether you are a large firm or an SMB, these will play out differently. So enterprises really like their array-based ER. They're popular for replicating multiple applications and large volumes of data. But array-based ER is very expensive. They also use disaster recovery providers for their DR and backup services on dedicated hardware, and this typically is done with an annual fee. Big contracts. These DR providers are very mature. They're very robust. They deliver guaranteed SLAs, but they too are expensive. If you are a smaller or a medium-sized business, and I actually made an extra column here for the fast-growing SMBs because we're seeing a little bit of a different approach there. If you're a smaller or medium-sized business, then you will probably like host-based solutions. Those are easy to integrate. They provide medium scalability, and they're definitely lower cost. You can go with hypervisor-based solutions, which are also easy to integrate, but they definitely provide some lower scalability, also lower cost, though. The fast-growing smaller and medium businesses tend to like appliance-based because of the heterogeneous environments that they can support. A little bit more costly, though, and because of that, they're also attracted to the virtual appliance. These are easy to deploy, a little less scalable, also a little lower in performance, but also certainly more affordable. Your SMBs and your fast-growing SMBs are typically not capable to go to a DR provider. That's just too expensive for them. So in this environment, there's some emerging competition for those DR providers that I mentioned, the expensive DR providers that the enterprises tend to be able to afford. And this competition is coming from cloud providers that are beginning to offer disaster recovery as a service. It comes from some startup DRaaS providers, pure play DRaaS providers, and then there are disaster recovery software vendors that have started to support the cloud as a DR site. What these sort of new providers deliver is failover of on-premises and cloud infrastructure to the cloud using replication. And among them are some of your large DR providers, the incumbents, the usual suspects we call them, that are changing their business model or that are adding to their business model to start delivering fast recovery. And then a number of startups. What these new disaster recovery as a service providers are really delivering is a couple of things, and a couple of pretty important things. So they, first of all, they deliver much faster recovery times. Cost is lower. The fee models are simpler. Pay-per-use models are pretty common. Often you only pay for the storage. The VMs remain dormant until they are needed in case there is an event. Terms are much more flexible, so you're not locked into annual agreements. They do provide significant resiliency to the infrastructure, good service levels, and lower OPEX and CAPEX. So you're not buying the redundant hardware. You're also not managing the failover infrastructure yourself. Testing is easy. Is often not impacting your operational environment. And then there's increased market. So at IDC, we're definitely seeing a rapidly growing interest in offerings. However, Not all of them are, you know, quite there yet. Some of them are still maturing. Not all of them are fully equipped, for example, to provide failover, failback, and testing automation. Not all of them can replicate between various storage technologies, different hypervisors. You have to pay attention to the levels of security that they can provide. Not all of them can provide the highest levels of security. And you know, in terms of regulatory compliance, you really need to pay attention to what it is that they can offer. With regard to what you and your firm need in terms of compliance. Some of these DRaaS providers can still be fairly costly for small and also the technology is still evolving. There's still a lot of new technological possibilities emerging. So we can see, we're seeing replication on between applications. We're seeing it between VMs, within one hypervisor, between different hypervisors, between on-prem virtual machines and the cloud, between physical servers and the cloud, and between different operating systems. So really what we're seeing is that site to cloud is emerging as a very viable alternative. Virtualization and virtualization management become kind of intertwined with DR and DR as a service. Some vendors are at this point beginning to offer live migration of the replication has started to evolve towards live migration of virtual machines from one hypervisor to another while automatically converting its data. So hypervisor A with a virtual machine migrate to hypervisor B. Virtual machine can migrate to hypervisor B with all the data intact. This new replication technology is being integrated into the hypervisors and high availability and DR solutions. So, for instance, virtualization vendors such as Microsoft, but also VMware, are now providing hypervisor-based replication to replicate your VMs at the VM level. And that is really opening up a lot of possibilities. You can protect mission-critical applications without the duplicate infrastructure that you used to need, automated replication. Based DR. And it means that you can protect servers to targets that are on-premises or at a hosting service provider or in the cloud. And it means that you can facilitates failover of Hyper-V to the cloud, of VMware VMs to the cloud, and possibly physical instance. And there are a number of very empowering features around this new technologies that businesses of all sizes will really start to benefit from. So, for instance, the VM monitoring is essentially nonstop. You're constantly looking at your VMs, seeing how they're doing, and if there is an issue, there's an immediate reaction. The recovery plans can be simple, or you can customize them as much as you like. The target VMs spin up, no live VMs are needed. As I mentioned earlier, they spin up only in case of a failover. That saves, that's less expensive. In terms of networks, some of these services start to make sure that the virtual networking is in place and can be customized. Encryption, which is very important, encryption between the VM source and the target, both on-prem and in the cloud, Testing, also very important. Testing is traditionally has been expensive, has been complex, has caused downtime, has potential affecting your operational environment. That is now no longer the case with these new technologies. And we're starting to see the possibility of having a very heterogeneous environment. Technologies that allow for in-operating system replication, so that you have essentially hypervisor agnostic, operating system agnostic, and very low latency synchronous replication of on-prem and cloud. That's a mouthful, but really what it means is that it doesn't matter anymore what operating system you're on, what hypervisor you're using. And the replication can be on-prem and in the cloud. So let's talk about what this sort of new technological environment for DR, disaster recovery as a service, and these new technologies can mean for you, depending on the size of your firm. Across firm sizes, enterprise, mid-market, and small businesses, there have been a number of shortcomings that we had to deal with. So with the enterprises, it was the complex DR scenarios that we had to deal with, the very complex testing. We were having very high cost from the duplicate site that we were running. And if we weren't doing that, we had a DR provider that locked into with annual agreements. Because of all that, we were probably not covering our lower tier workloads or our remote offices or our branch offices. And they were somewhat neglected. For enterprises, the cost benefits with disaster recovery as a service are much easier to understand. The options are much more granular. It's not annual do this or don't do anything. The affordability of the protection of lower tier workloads and remote offices and branch offices allows you to really start protecting those. And then there's a bunch of operational benefits that enterprises will benefit from, which is that the new technologies provide this very heterogeneous environment, which, as I mentioned earlier, is important. Enterprises like storage array-based replication, and so the storage array-based replication between SAN devices that host VM data for Tier 1 workloads will be possible. You will be able to test much more often with much less disruption, and then disaster recovery as a service might also function as an on-ramp for enterprises that are a little hesitant about the cloud. If we put our mission-critical applications in the cloud, those types of considerations are still fairly common, and disaster recovery as a service is a really nice way to start testing that out a little bit. If you're a mid-market or a small business, mid-market, you probably couldn't afford the traditional ER solutions. Your programs were probably somewhat limited, unless you were contracted with a hosted service provider, but then you were probably still having insufficient coverage. And if you're a really small business, you simply didn't have the budget. DR and DR, PE and ASP would be too expensive. You also wouldn't have the bandwidth. And, of course, the skill sets for DR solutions to implement, they can be very complex. So adoption of HA and DR is pretty low and small. For both mid-market and small, the cost benefits with the DRAS are significant. These solutions are very cost-effective. They're easy. The pricing is also targeted at small and mid-market. So definitely take a look at that, because these are the customers that these new providers are offering. There's no, you know, upfront cost generally. There's no termination fees, and customers tend to only pay for what they use. Then from an operational perspective, small and mid-market firms can protect as few or as many VMs as they require. Some of them, if you want to protect two VMs, you can do that. The testing is non-disruptive. It's easy, and you can protect your physical servers, any operating system. Really what we're seeing that across all these firm sizes, as these new technologies are becoming available, and as they mature, so again, pay attention to the maturity of the service. The potential benefits they can be significant. More data, applications, VMs will be protected. Your business continuity will be improved, especially if you're a smaller or medium-sized business. And in the third platform, this is really critical. It's all about data and the revenue and reputation impact of lost data nowadays. Huge, and is increasingly considered unacceptable. I think that with disaster recovery as a service, we're really seeing the first set of technologies that are going to deliver portable data protection for all, for, you know, regardless of the size of your data. That is what I intended to cover.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. That was very, very informative. And for those attending the conference, please ask some questions. I'll be happy to read them to Peter. Let me start with a couple questions that I have, Peter. How fast do you see the change from enterprises using disaster recovery, their secondary site as being a physical location, whether it's their own secondary data center or a hosting service provider? How fast do you see them moving to disaster recovery in the cloud?
Yeah, that's a good question. So at IDC, we are increasingly monitoring this market, and what we're seeing. So I can't provide any sort of quantitative answers here, but what we're seeing is that small businesses are definitely beginning to adopt this, and it makes sense, right? Because they have much to gain at a cost that is now really manageable. In the past, they didn't really have many options. Now they do. Medium-sized companies will start using this depending on what they've invested in traditional solutions. But here, too, I do expect a pretty steady adoption because they will start, as they are sort of taking a look at their traditional solutions, they will start to look at the benefits of droughts and start to compare. And at some point, they too will start to decide that it's time for them to at least partially go to a DRaaS solution. And then finally, sort of the large enterprises who have very significant investments in place, they have the redundant sites, the remote redundant sites. They'll be a little slower, but not necessarily much slower, because for them, it's of course important that they start protecting those lower tiers. Like I said, they've spent most of their money on getting tier one applications fully protected. Some of the other tiers have been somewhat neglected, so they will adopt too. So I think fastest adoption, small businesses, steady adoption, medium size, and then over time, large enterprises will start to see the benefits from this as well.
Great, thank you. And we do thank you to the audience. We do have some questions from them, and This question is not for me. This is actually from a real audience member. What are your thoughts on Microsoft's Azure Site Recovery?
I think that I talked about a number of the new technologies that we're seeing emerging that are starting to deliver these types of solutions. And I think that with ASR, Microsoft is essentially saying we want to be able to provide this entire range of solutions in very heterogeneous environments. Any direction of replication that you need in a very affordable way, with a very easy to manage environment. If I were to say who is really sort of across the board starting to work these new technologies into their offering, I think ASR is definitely one of the front runners.
Thanks, Peter. Next question. What are the downsides to DR as a service from the perspective of mid to large sized enterprises?
I talked a little bit about what the invested infrastructure is for enterprises. They have these very complex DR scenarios, very complex testing. They have very high cost from this duplicate side. So there's a lot of upsides for them to switch. We have to be clear that whatever the DRaaS service is that they're going to be using can really manage the volumes that they need, the bandwidth that they need, the very high level of compliance that they require. So for an enterprise, it's very critical that they look at the DRaaS provider and ensure that the security is there, then the compliance is there, these various drivers that I mentioned.
Okay, thanks. Next question, and thanks to everyone for providing very good questions. Peter, is there a particular someplace on the internet or maybe IDC that provides a list of the DRaaS providers with their pros and cons and pricing information?
IDC definitely has some documents on our side that provides a list of providers. I think we do have not necessarily a number by number comparison of their fees, but certainly I think we provide some insight as to how what their business models are, how their fees are structured. I don't know if there's an opportunity to provide this at some other point in time. I can sort of look into what we have that would be of benefit to the person who asked the question. Maybe it can get to them some way.
Okay, great, Peter. I have one more question. Now that we have, as you presented, DRaaS to the cloud as a viable and cost-effective alternative, how do you see the adoption of using that to protect what was previously unprotected VMs? Do you see that's going to happen pretty quickly, that more and more VMs are going to get protected that were not protected before?
It's hard to sort of quantify that, but we're seeing, so IDC is, not just IDC, everybody in the industry is continuing to see an increase in virtualization, and not just the rate of virtualization, but also VM density, which means the number of VMs per server. At the same time, we're seeing a very significant move to the cloud for increasingly mission-critical applications. And if you add those two together, and if you're looking at the fact that the cloud becomes sort of a de facto DR target for your VMs. And if you look at how for with some of these providers it's very easy and it's very affordable, then it's pretty safe to assume that we're moving from a world in I think you could say we're moving from a world in which most VMs were not covered by DR to one in which most are, and that's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will be an increasingly safer world for the data that are so important for our firms.
Thank you, Peter. And I don't see any other questions. I'll pause for a moment in case somebody else wants to type one in. But as I said at the beginning of this webinar, everyone will receive an email shortly after the webinar concludes with a link to the recording, so you can listen to it again, review the slides, forward it to a colleague, show it to your children, whatever. So with that, Peter, I'd like to thank you very much for that very informative session, and I'd like to thank all the attendees for joining. Hope everyone benefited from this session. Thanks.
Thanks, Alan. It's great to be able to go through this. It's very interesting stuff, and I enjoyed talking it through.
Okay, thanks.